Hey, by the way, I want to talk about two things. Number one, I talked to my mom this morning, and I said, I got to go do the podcast. She goes, oh, well, tell Rob something for me.
Uh-oh.
I said, okay. She said, tell Rob he has great teeth like Chris Cuomo.
Hey, I'll take that. I like that a lot. I'm really...
Yeah, I didn't see the Chris Cuomo part coming.
Like, no, I wouldn't have thought about the, hey, I'll take Cuomo. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cuomo's a handsome fella.
Yeah, they're both the Cuomos. It's nice to get a compliment from a spate. It's a rarity.
That doesn't happen much.
No.
You know, I'm sure my dad would have thrown in some barb like,
oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
If you got to look at somebody.
When he had COVID.
when he had COVID.
Yeah.
Hey, Tina's here.
Oh, Tina's here. Uh-oh.
I got Ruth here. We're ready to go. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Rob, you ready?
We're ready.
Hey, what's going on? Rob and Rich are the kings of Con.
Live from Fartoon Studios and somewhere in Oregon, it's Kings of Con, the podcast. This week's guest,
Kings of Con,
Ruth Connell.
Straight from Wikipedia, Ruth Connell is a Scottish theater, television, and film actress and producer. She's a professional dancer, former professional dancer and choreographer. She's best known as a recurring role as Rowena McLeod on the CW series Supernatural. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Ruth Connell. Ruth!
Woo!
Ruth Connell.
Hi.
That's my name. That's
Wait a minute. It's Ruth Connell and her zebra. Like that.
Yeah. This is Zion Zebra.
Okay.
Wow, you named your pillow.
Yeah.
Alliteration, no less. Ruth, we're glad to have you here. Blah blah blah. We're gonna dive right into it because we're talking. We've been talking a little politics. We've been talking a little QAnon. So I need to know now, right out of the gate, is that real zebra? Is that an endangered animal pillow?
It is. It's actually from South Africa.
Are you the Don Jr. of this podcast?
I am the Don Jr.
Yeah.
And yeah,
she killed
that
pillow.
Yeah.
It was a live pillow running free. She had it killed.
Oh, that's so sad.
I've got a stag over there as well. I go for endangered species all around the world.
Oh my God, that's so oddly hot.
That's so you.
Hi, Tina.
Hey, good to see you.
I like the red.
That's the other thing. Yeah, she did a hair homage to you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Every week I dye my hair a different color to match the guest. Yeah.
Yeah.
You really?
Yeah.
She will now.
Yep.
When Rich.
I can't wait till we have a bald guest on.
Yeah, I was going to say, when Rich was the guest, she shaved it and had a hairpiece.
Yeah. Yeah, she started her hairline back here, like a monk.
Grew a beard for months, yeah.
Ruth,
I shaved my beard.
We were just talking. Welcome to our podcast.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. I didn't know you've already been chatting. You've already sorted out wild politics.
Well, Ruth, we'd like to tell you that this is a real professional operation, but the truth is, this morning we had the idea for the first time. Hey, let's get it going for like a 10-minute conversation before we bring the guest on. So
yeah,
you're the guinea pig of this new format.
It's pronounced Guinea pig.
Sorry.
But yeah, that's what you are. And Rob, keep chatting. I have to grab my coffee, which was being made when you started in on me about the whole QAnon thing.
Oh,
you
Jesus.
Really pounced on me this morning.
Ooh,
well, look at Ruth.
Ready. Wow.
Wow.
That's not booze. No way. I call your bluff.
I thought it was morning martinis.
She got the memo.
You're a liar.
She's seen the podcast.
All right, hold on.
How are you, Ruth?
I'm good. How are you today?
Good.
Yeah.
Did you hear me read your bio off of Wikipedia?
No, I thought that I was joining this and we'd have a bit of a chat and then we'd start.
No, you're on.
I was like, I'm going to fix my hair. I've got my powder here.
No.
Surprise!
You're on stage.
Oh.
And we're going live. So it's actually people are watching
live,
right now all over Times Square. No, no.
No.
No. No. Nobody, it's all recorded and we can cut out what we don't want.
Ruth leaves the meeting immediately.
But I got a note from a listener saying, hey, it'd be nice if you introduced the guests with, you know, sort of their bio so that we know people maybe who don't watch Supernatural, say. Who we're talking about. So I tried that today because Wikipedia, you know, is such a source for info.
What does it say?
That you're a former professional dancer. That you're Scottish. They think you're Scottish. Yeah.
Controversial.
And that you played Rowena McLeod on the acclaimed television series Supernatural.
I certainly did. Not to get too political, but you know what Trump's mum's surname was in real life?
McLeod.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, because she's got it. She's from Scotland, right?
No, we're so proud. Anyway,
yeah,
I don't know how deep you go on stuff like that.
So what is the news from Scotland in terms of COVID?
It's going to be a wee bit more severe again. I think they're going to do a bit more of a lockdown, and I'm supposed to go home. I've not been home all year. I'm going to go home for Christmas, see my dad on the farm, see my mom in Edinburgh. And I'm a bit worried they're going to like close down the airspace or something.
Wow.
So I'm determined to get there by hook or crook, even if I have to like drive from London or something. You know, I have to quarantine for 14 days and do the whole thing. But I'm going to get there. I'm going to get to Scotland. Right. I'm going to
it's
get there.
Kind of hot when she said hook or crook.
Right, Robert. What did she say?
She said, "Oh, right, sorry."
I'm kidding.
We were talking. we were talking when before you came on, Ruth. Rich sometimes has a hard time understanding you. And I said, it's really hard to watch when you two are having a conversation.
You oh, think it's word. Hilarious.
It sounds like, no.
But I got everything she said this time, and I know that she's going to get there by hook or by crook.
Yeah.
I know that's going to happen.
So my biggest fear, because we've obviously done so many intros and outros together at conventions, my biggest fear is always that I'm going to look at Rich and just see his mouth moving and not understand any of the words, and he's going to do the same back to me, and it happens every time.
I know, like, your fear is, don't you need me? There's no fear.
That's reality.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, though, because now you just dance with Mike Borjot. Like, I'm out of it. You know what I mean? Rob sings a song, and all I do is, Rob sings, so for people who don't know, when we do Supernatural conventions, Rob and I introduce all the guests, and Loudon Swain is on stage doing the full, you know, Jimmy Kimmel-esque intro. And every actor has their own theme song, and Ruth's theme song is Black Magic Woman.
Mm.
And Rob sings Black Magic Woman. She's a Black Magic Woman. And my entire job is to go, so black. So black. Like, I'm the patter guy between Rob's words. And then she comes over and dances with Mike Borjot, who's the bass player for Loudon Swain.
Yeah.
I used to dance with you, but you worked out to stand on the far left of the stage to completely avoid it.
You know why? Because one time I did so well, and Rob knows what I'm talking about. Remember, she came out and suddenly we actually danced.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
Holy crap. And I'm
Rich,
like,
yeah, Rich is spinning around, chewing gum. All of a sudden, Rich is an incredible dancer.
It was one of those times where we accidentally like did a couple of moves, and
yeah.
It was dope. And
yeah.
I'm deploying my chute. I don't think I was actually chewing gum, but I do like the imitation of me being like
chewing gum. Yeah, spinning around. Ruth is kind of giddy. She's like, oh.
get twirled by space. So.
It's but then you and Borja have there's a subtext there. Like there's a story. You know what I mean? Of like a robot and a Scotswoman.
Yeah.
I know. And actually, Mike, his friend Martine is coming round. We're waiting for this to end so his friend can come round. Martine helps me with all my DIY stuff, and that's another Borja tight connection.
And Martine is very Borja. He's very off from the Borja camp. Just the sweetest man.
He's really? The sweetest man,
yeah.
And quite protective for a construction guy.
Yeah, yeah. like he'll be at Ruth's house, and Ruth has to run an errand. And she'll like run an errand, and then he'll call her like, "When are you coming back?" And getting worried about her.
Is he a buddy, Mike's, or are they related?
They're buddies, and they've done work together and stuff.
He's
and
done
he does
a
really
work for
good
Mike.
Job. But yeah.
And
he'll be like,
"When they're related is not ridiculous because every city we've ever been to, there's like 9 Borjas."
Yeah, Mike's got a lot of Borjas.
Completely, but Martin the other day he was like, "So are they doing any concerts? How are they, you know?" It was asking about Loudon Swain.
Yeah.
Dude, I need Martine. I wish awesome. I were handier.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Go on.
Not handsier, Ruth. Handsier.
Oh,
he is handsy,
okay.
But he's not handy.
I'm plenty handsy.
This is a song I wrote called Handsy Not Handy.
He's handsy, not handy. He can fix your
tub. He's handsy, not handy, but he likes to rub a dub.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's the handsy, not handy song.
And you know, dirty. I like your risque sort of language.
I love your songs that you do. They're so clever. And I have a favorite song, though.
Oh. Ooh.
I do have a favorite song that you've done.
Oh, dear.
It's the one, I don't know if you've played it live on the show before or you've done it on the show before, but it's the one that goes, Ruth is the greatest of all time.
Oh.
Do you know?
Yeah.
We should hear that.
Yeah.
And yeah. I should say, what makes it special for me, and I enjoy the song too, is A, it's longer than most songs, and done in a Scottish accent.
No!
Let's hear that song.
You got a yes and.
Dad, you hear the latest? Ruth is the greatest. Ruth is the greatest of all time.
Come on, men, like she told us, lads.
Dad, you hear the latest? Ruth is the greatest. Ruth is the greatest. Of all time.
Oh, she's them. Oh, right, she are them. Aye, you better be them.
Bet your britches she is.
Oh. And it's the longest song ever, boys.
Who is Gregory's girl?
Let's go get a pint, lads.
Oh.
Rob.
What a
bagpipes.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, man. How did you...
The perfect Scottish song.
Oh, thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. I'm really proud of that song.
Oh, amazing. Rob's Scottish accent is a mixture of Gregory's Girl and Chariots of Fire.
Gregory's,
what was the first one?
So Gregory's Girl is a Scottish movie comedy from the like late 70s that early in the HBO days, my dad worked for the cable company. So before the old man left, we had the first people on the block to have HBO. And they played like four movies. And one of them was Gregory's Girl, the Scottish movie. And my brother and I watched it and we memorized the words. And and it's such a random. And then I never heard about it again. It was just one of those random movies. And then later on, with Ruth, I was like, did you ever have a movie called Gregory's Girl? It's like, oh yeah, Gregory's Girl.
Gregory's Girl is classic.
And that's and so in Gregory's Girl, all these like kids are talking and they all talk like this. Did you kiss her? No. You lie, you kiss her at least 50 times. So that's the only way, I have to go way up there when I do my Scottish.
And that part is a girl, like a teenage girl, audio dubbed by a much older woman.
Yeah, it's weird.
So Rob's Scottish accent is sort of like a 50-year-old woman's impersonation of like a 13-year-old girl in the 70s. So it's a very specific accent.
Who is Gregory's girl? Yeah, well, last week I did with Tom Ellis a few weeks ago, I did my great English accent. You know, I do accents.
Well, I've not heard it. Can I hear Tom? Can I hear it?
Hello? Can I have a crumpet?
Now do your British accent. Oh, that was it. Oh,
yeah. Sorry. You thought I was really looking for a crumpet.
Yeah. I thought you were having a procedure done under the table and you were in pain.
Richard, what's your Scottish accent like?
Yeah, Richard.
Oh, Ruth!
Hello! It's quite like your hamster.
Yeah! You know, we all go up to decibel, like the highest, like, oh, I'm a wee bit peckish! years ago, I've only been to, this is not Scotland, it's Ireland, but I went to Ireland briefly, and I had a video camera back in when you had a physical tape in the video camera. This is 20 years ago.
1956.
Cranking the camera. It was me, my buddy Cortland, and my then girlfriend, now wife, JC Hayes. And we were walking around and ended up walking through some neighborhood because we had like gone to the Jameson's distillery and then the Guinness brewery, you know, like you do in a day. And we were then walking somewhere else and a bunch of kids were there. And we were so enamored, these kids who, you know, were just out, like, on the train tracks playing, and their accents were so cute to us, because just, and they were talking, like, where are you from? Is he your fella? You know, at one point they asked Jason, like, hey, is he your fella?
Like, asking if he's your boyfriend?
So, yeah. We did, that was so cute. Yeah. And so we're like, this is so great, and your accents are so cute. Can I film
got
you
to
guys?
Love the Irish,
and
like, cheek, oh, right? Yeah. Got to love.
So we get the video camera out, and I start filming them, and they literally start trying to get in front of each other, and they're all going, fuck it! Fuck it! And they're like, eight. Fuck it! Suck it! I'm like... So I have footage of this, and I'm like, this is, I've got a bunch of kids screaming, fucking suck it, children of Ireland.
Cut to 25 years later, you've got your own one of those.
I do. And the fucking Tina, we didn't come Ireland have released an album, and they're grown-ups. And
I mean, you've got the red hair, you've got the medical look going, yeah. I feel like.
That's hilarious.
In fact, Rob, you have a little sample of the fucking suck it track.
I do.
Yeah, okay, give us a little bit of that, okay. Irish fucking suck it track.
All right. This podcast is going to take me 2 weeks to edit.
But Tina, we didn't cover Tina's Scottish accent.
Oh, man, I knew I was going.
I mean, you've got the red hair, you've got the Merida look going. I feel
You got sort of a single white female thing going on. You're just trying to be Ruth
Connell. Fuck it, suck it!
That's pretty good.
You went right for the profanity.
Actually, well, it's what I heard last. You know, it sounded right.
What if that's what Tina does for every accent? Tina, how's your Southern? Oh, let me try it. Well, fuck it, suck it. Oh, Tina, wow. We're at brunch.
It's all
what are you?
Super balls. It's all real dirty.
Oh, dear.
I'm hanging out with you too much.
I neglected to say in your my intro of you, Ruth, that you are the voice of Merida in after the movie. They did a lot of video games and cartoons and whatnot. And you're real life Merida.
It's bananas to me that I am actually in some kind of way like an actual Disney princess.
You are?
Yeah.
So sometimes when I get accused of having airs and graces and whatnot, you know, I'm like,
I'm a princess.
I'm a Disney princess.
That's a good car to have in your back pocket, you know?
Yeah. I'm a big hit with like the under sevens, you know what I mean? It's, yeah.
And the fuck it, suck it crowd.
Yeah.
But I got it's like a voice match job, and then I've ended up doing a lot more than I could have imagined. And I was at one point in a sound booth, and they play down the other voices down the line, and I'm in this sound booth in this really cool pop studio down in Santa Monica, and I've got Billy Connolly's voice and Emma Thompson's voice, and I'm like answering them. And the interesting thing to note about that is that Billy Connolly's character's name is Fergus. And in Supernatural, my son's called Fergus. And in Scotland, I know no one called Fergus. But in America, the two parts that I really play, both my relatives are called Fergus.
Huh. Interesting. Fergus.
Is that not a common name in Scotland?
I mean, maybe in like slightly older generation or whatnot. Right. But I love playing Merida. I take my shoes off in the sound booth and I do it barefoot and throw myself around.
That's awesome.
Lower the mic a little bit. Squeak, squeak, squeak.
Aww.
You're wearing high heels. I'm just saying, it's a big.
I see. She's like, dummy.
One thing you can say about Ruth, she never wears flats. She's famous for never wearing flats.
That's very true. Very true.
Yeah. So I got a lockdown question for you. Your whole time since quarantine or COVID hit, you've been in the States, right? You haven't gone back. Okay. So, walk me through the Ruth Connell experience. Thus far, like, what do you do? What has become your time filler, new guilty pleasure of the lockdown experience?
It's so boring. It's so boring.
This will be a great podcast.
No, it's like what used to take me 10 minutes now is like my first 2 hours. I don't know if anybody else is the same. Like, time I make a coffee and I read some news and like. Suddenly it's 2 hours, but I've got a terrible habit now on Instagram. I watch loads of live streams and stuff in the morning, and full disclosure, I listen to an astrology. Rich has just gone like, what? Where is she going with this? I listen to an astrology podcast so that I know the stars forecast for the day, so I know what to look out for. And like sometimes it's like 12 o'clock before I really get going. And it's like I'm normally a very busy person and I normally accomplish quite a lot in a day, but during lockdown, if I do like three things in one day, that's, I mean, I'm being really honest here. I could tell you a table.
No shame, it's fun.
Yeah, and I sometimes like go for a walk. I am redoing my kitchen and I have tidied out a lot of my cupboards and I threw away 150 items of clothing. At one point I managed to go through my wardrobes. I started writing a script though. I did start writing a script.
Okay. There you go. Well, you sound busy. That doesn't sound like you're doing nothing. It sounds like you got a lot going on.
Yeah. I've watched more television in the last 6 months than I have in the last 6 years. And that's honestly been awesome. I've watched so much good television.
Yeah.
Research. Cool. I mean, you got to watch TV.
Research.
You
know? And I meant to say the other night on The Boys, watching an episode of The Boys, I saw the actress that played Olivette, who turned into the hamster. And I thought of you both at Comic-Con. It all comes full circle.
Because at Comic-Con, just for listeners who may not know, Richard and I were the moderators of the Supernatural panel at Comic-Con for many years, and one year we brought back a character from Supernatural that was a person that had been turned into a hamster, and Richard made
Is the hamster behind you on your desk there, on your shelf there, Rob? Yeah. I think Olivette is.
It is.
I loved it because Olivette, it was such a good interview that you did at Comic-Con, the live interview about, I know there's the whole Mark Shepherd thing about being a close personal friend of Mark.
Oh!
I don't want
to. I forgot the voice I did for Olivette.
It's to your Scottish.
Or more Russian.
Your Brazilian. It's your Brazilian
voice. I am a big fan.
I have a question. Right. Yeah, it's that voice.
I have a question for Ruth. Ruth. Rodents, where do you stand on this issue? Because you're fixing your kitchen. But you know I like to climb in your cupboard and snack on your goodies. So, are you leaving room for me?
I've left a wee bit cheese out for you in the countertop. So that
and some wine?
There's cheese and wine.
Thank you. I'm not a Philistine.
But be careful of the coyotes, though. Mm. If you go outside at all, because I had three in my backyard last night, so I just want you to look after yourself and take care there.
Don't worry, I'm not going outside. I sleep under your bed.
Good to know. Is that the snoring that I've been hearing?
It is snoring and the pooping. That is both me.
Could I hear it again? Could I hear the hamster snoring and pooping, please?
Boop, 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 boop.
That's it. That's what I'm hearing at 3 a.m. That's definitely one.
I can't wait to see Scout animate that.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Okay, I go away now. Bye bye.
Bye. That was fun. That was an unexpected guest.
Wow.
Double bonus guest. There you go.
So you've been busy. You've been keeping busy.
Yeah. I've done stuff. Yeah. It's been nice to slow down and it's been nice to not be on and off planes every other weekend. I don't know how you all feel.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a bit healthier actually. I mean, I'm chubbier. Like I've got a new snack regime in the evenings I did not have when I was flying everywhere to do conventions and whatnot and to film. I have a whole snack regime. Like you have dinner now and then you have to have something sweet to sweeten your palate afterwards. And then there's the chips course, which we call crisps. Mm-hmm. In Scotland, and then there's a second, like the ice cream course.
Right, secondi, they call it in Italian.
Did you bring in Fletcher or Frank to be your new chef? It sounds very, very similar.
That's what they do.
Well, my sons would recommend
Pop-Tarts as an appetizer.
No.
It has a Pop-Tartian finish.
Well, speaking of Ruth's snacks.
Oh. My favorite.
So these are oat cakes. Is that backwards for you guys?
No.
Okay. It's weird. It is for me.
That's Ruth's bag, though.
Right.
Give that back to Ruth.
So the story behind this. Yeah, go ahead, Ruth.
No, Rob bought a label machine.
That's right. Mm. For one reason, so that I could put one pump on my son Calvin's soap dispenser. He overuses the soap, and I'm running out of soap every week because he's like, you only need one pump, just one pump. So I put one pump sticker on the soap.
Oh, you like, you, wow, it's hilarious.
Yeah. Like instructions.
Yeah. Yeah. And he, in an act of defiance, turned it around so that he didn't have to look at it. So, of course, I put it on the backside too. Mm-hmm. It's just a little thing we've got. And then I was so excited, I didn't know what else to label. Well, Ruth had left a box of Nairn's Rough Oat Cakes over here.
Nairn's.
You had these, Tina? Have you tried them?
Not.
Oh, they're quite good. They're quite good.
They're the best things to slice bread. Really, yeah.
Nairn.
I actually made a sticker and I put it on Ruth's bag.
Ruth's bag. Mm.
And she took it off and put it on her roast oat cakes.
But. Well, then Robbie, you got to do a commercial for Nairn's oat cakes.
That's right.
All the oat cakes.
Maybe I'll get free Nairns if you do that. Do it. I want free Nairns. I get them shipped. I buy them in bulk and get them shipped over.
But Richard, what if it's like a country? It's a country song. It's like, I'm Nairn. Try my oat cakes.
You do it. What do you? You dealer's choice. Okay. I just know that for all of your oat cake needs,
that's right.
This podcast endorses Nairns. Take it, Robbie.
Yeah. When there's nothing in your cupboard and you're gonna fill your stomach, we kinda taste like cardboard. We're Nairns. We're Scottish.
Wow. I like it. What a toe tapper.
Yeah. Kings of Con podcast sponsored by Silver Lake Wine.
Yeah, it was real upbeat, that one, like in the Maracas.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, I don't know what they have to do with Scotland. I don't know what they have to do with Scotland, but I like them.
Thank you.
I think Ruth is getting the point here that she can throw you curveballs.
Yeah, Ruth is good at this. Yeah.
This is a lot of fun. I see why you guys do this.
So I went to Rob's house last night for a social distancing writing session. Mm-hmm. And I learned something else interesting about Rob, talking about the one pump thing. He gets real squirrely if you insist on urinating all over his yard.
Yeah.
So Richard. I thought that was like.
So the funny thing about this is it would be perfect fodder for you if it were the opposite. If you found out that something I like to do is pee in my own yard, I think he'd be all over me. So I find this out about Rich last night. He's like, should I pee outside or am I cool going inside? And I was like, pee inside. Like,
well, no, Tina, it's a quarantine thing too.
It's a quarantine thing, but he was like, well, I have to admit, I like to pee in my own yard. When JC's out of town, I pee in my own yard all the time.
Yeah.
Which the machete would not like hearing that.
No, but she knows and she gets really bummed out. Because she'll call and I'll answer. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm peeing in the bamboo. She's like, stop it.
Does it help fertilize the plants?
I don't know. Hey, guys.
It smells.
You feel healthier? I don't know, Ruth. I don't take a dump on it. I feel like that might really.
I think that pee actually would be bad. If you pee every day in your yard, it would kill the grass. But nevertheless, there's Richard wanting to pee off my deck.
Well, it was just one of those things when I first became a homeowner. To me, that was like I finally owned land. I finally owned something.
You're a
and
dog.
I would just go pee all over the yard.
That's amazing. Yeah. You're such
marking
a dog.
It. Yeah, you marked it. Yeah.
Rich,
yeah.
Was this the front yard or the backyard? Was this like the croquet lawn or the bull lawn?
You are.
Oh, I know. It's like I remember. I passed the butler. So wait, where does the help sleep? Because
it's right.
It was a crushed granite path.
Right.
I think it may have been in the
Diamond.
Gardens. I think it may have been in the gardens,
right?
The garden area.
Yeah,
the jardin.
Next to the decorative pool, not the
inside the moat. Inside the moat.
Yeah, I was across. I'd been allowed in. I was inside the moat, and then I had passed the bocce ball court, and then I went around the putting green. Yeah, I think it was in the jardin.
But the private gardens, not the public ones.
No. That's why he got really. That's why he got weirded out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He's like, that's my Zen garden. That's where that's me time. Right. I wanted your urine in there.
Right.
He's like, go pee on the people. Like you can pee off my guard wall down on the people who've gathered to pay their respects.
Homage, yeah. I got a whole group outside.
you say bocce ball, I say boo, right? The same thing. They're both
let's call the whole thing off.
You say bocce. And then,
I say boo.
Spell what you're saying, Ruth.
B-O-U-L-E.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Rob.
Sorry,
I was
Ruth.
Talking
Go ahead.
To
sorry.
No, just what Rob said.
No, you say it.
B-O-U-L-E. B-O-U-L-E.
But it's not boulet. It's not like a French saying.
It's boule.
There's no accent aigu.
So it'd be like no accent aigu. So I went around the boule to the jardin.
Oui. Oui.
So good.
Yeah.
And wow. I
watch you from my foyer.
Foyer.
And Rob actually does speak quite good French. Not only that, he sings in French.
Oh.
Do it, Robbie. And be sure you talk about your Jodin and your Bouillet.
Are you suggesting a fifth song in 5 minutes?
But listen, you got I'm lobbing you some softballs here. You got Jardin,
mm-hmm.
You got Boulet.
It writes itself.
You got Foyer, yeah. And Robert Goulet. Go.
Okay. Okay. Oh, me oui.
Don't you miss Robert Goulet? Man. Bob Goulet.
Bob.
So a friend of mine told me a story about Robert Goulet, which I think is funny. So Eric Dane, who is an actor who was on
Handsome.
He was on Handsome.
Okay, calm down.
No, he was on, a very handsome chap. And what was he on? Grey's Anatomy.
Jeez,
and then he had his own show called The Last Ship.
Anyway, and he's I know exactly who you're talking about.
Okay, calm down over there, Jesus.
wait, it's
so that dude
McSteamy,
and I did a
right.
He and I did a McSteamy. Exactly.
McSteamy, yeah.
He and I did a movie together before he did, Grey's. So, and he was telling me a story. His wife, Rebecca Gayhart, had been on Broadway, so he got to go to a Broadway opening, I guess, where all the Broadway actors gather. And so he got to go be her plus one to that event. And he said it was super cool. And he's seeing all these big actors, a lot of them, old school people who do theater and movies and just, really, really talented folks. And he said one of the people he saw was Paul Newman. And he's like, oh my God, Paul Newman. I'm the, and by the way, who isn't the biggest Paul Newman fan? But Eric, like everybody else on planet Earth, was a massive Paul Newman fan and was blown away to see Paul Newman. So I'm going to go over and I got to, I'm at a private party. It's not like the streets. I can go and pay my respects. So he said he went over and, nervously kind of waited. And he said he got kind of an icy reception. It was kind of like Paul Newman, okay. And he's like, Mr. Newman, you're my favorite actor of all time, and I love everything you do. And like, all right, great, cool. And he said it was disheartening. He was bummed out. Now, if you're Paul Newman, you get that every 6 seconds. I'm sure it gets old. But for Eric Dane, and he said he walked back over to his wife, who now was talking to Robert Goulet. So now Robert Goulet and Rebecca are having a conversation, and he said he walked back over, and Goulet was like, why the long face? Sort of Bob Goulet way. And he's like, I mean, I'm a huge Paul Newman fan. I kind of just got blown off by Paul Newman. He said, Bob Goulet goes, ha! Paul's been blowing me off for 50 years! So little known beef between Newman and Goulet. Oh,
that's great. It reminds me of the Will Ferrell character when Will Ferrell plays Robert Goulet.
You know who didn't blow me off in a similar way is somebody Rich, Damian Lewis.
He didn't blow you off. Good.
He didn't. I got a bit nervous. He was at I was at a show in the West End. My friend Robin, who was also in Band of Brothers.
I know Robin.
Yeah. Robin was working backstage, and Robin's job was to catch my friend. My friend Jo was in the play, and it was a Tom Stoppard play, and she had to swing across the stage in a trapeze with her top off. And Robin's job every night was to catch her. So, it was the same.
Was that his job, or was he just creepily standing there catching naked women?
It was his job. We should tag him in this.
He volunteered. He volunteered for it.
And he's so sweet, Robin. So anyway, we're at the opening night, and it's a big deal in the West End, and Jo texts me from her dressing room, and she's like, Damian Lewis is in the audience. She's really excited because Damian Lewis is in the audience. And then we both think he's, got something to offer the ladies, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
And so we go to the after party, and he's just there. And I'm like, Damian Lewis, pointing my elbow. And then Robin came over to talk to me. I'm standing with Jo, and Damian Lewis came right over because he knows Robin from Band of Brothers as well. And he's like, hello, and introduced himself. And we were chatting away, and he was so nice. He was so nice. And then I was there because of my friend Jo, and I felt she wasn't really being included in the conversation enough. So I said nervously, I said to Damian Lewis, I said, can I introduce you to my friend Jo? Her name's Lewis as well. Which was my real fun kind of,
And her name is Joe Lewis. I mean, that was.
Yeah, and he was like, "Oh, are you Welsh as well?" And she was like, "No." And it was so awkward and embarrassing, not because of him, entirely because of me. But he was lovely, so he did not blow me off. I just sort of embarrassed myself.
Where did it go from there? Did he just meander off?
Or? Well, I was like, kind of like, just listen. And I was telling myself to just listen so much, I couldn't hear anything he was saying. So I couldn't respond any useful way.
I've been in that situation before where you're talking, you meet somebody famous and you're trying to be a normal person. And the whole time you're like, I can't believe this is Damien Lewis.
And then not long after that, he met Helen McCrory. Not long after.
There you go. Yeah. So maybe he was looking for a woman and you missed your opportunity.
It's my chance.
You could be Ruth Lewis.
So your friend's name is Joe Lewis.
Joe Lewis, yeah.
He's a famous boxer here in the United States.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What, like heavyweight or what?
I was like back in the what, Rich? 40s?
Oh, gosh, yeah. He 40s. I think heavyweight. I think Joe Lewis is a heavyweight fighter.
So Joe Lewis, my Joe Lewis, is not married, but are they married? Oh, they're married. Sorry, they've been my best friends for so long.
Sounds like it.
They are. I'm actually godmother to their children. But so Joe Lewis is married to Joe Raishbrook, and their kids are called Molly Joe and Noah Joe. And when we all lived together, I was the only non-Joe in the house.
Did you ever have a cup of Joe with the Joes?
I did. That's what we do all the time.
Yeah, she talks about them, and she says, Joe and Joe. Oh, Joe and Joe.
Girl Joe and boy Joe. That's the only way to differentiate them. So.
It is so mortifying when you find yourself in that situation of being with somebody of note and you just completely shit the bed in that moment.
I've done that many times.
Oh, I've done it constantly.
Rob, tell us your worst one. Come on, tell us your worst one.
The first one that comes to mind is I was invited by the... I was invited to go to the Neverland Ranch when I was on Felicity. The cast of Felicity was invited to Joe Jackson's birthday party. And so I was there and we were just, it was the oddest day, as you can imagine. It's its own podcast. But finally the moment came. Michael was there, but he was in costume, so we couldn't really find him. But there were a lot of other random celebrities there. But it's Joe Jackson, the father Jackson, the man who supposedly, you know, physically abused those children. And he's kind of a scary man. We go to meet him, and it's me and Greg Grunberg. And Greg was like, hey, Greg's a Richard Spate. He's like, hey, Joe, Greg Grunberg, Felicity, so nice you to invite us. This is, you know, really great. And Joe looks at him sincerely. He's like, oh, yeah, well, thanks for coming. And then I kind of duck my head in, and I'm like, hey, it's really great. We're just happy to be here. It's really great. And he looks at me like I peed in his yard. He looked at me and he was like, yeah, man. And he just like gave me the side eye and just said, yeah, man. Like, who's this fucking weirdo? Definitely 7 on the call sheet. I was just like, that's the thing that comes to mind is I really just bit it with Joe Jackson.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I still feel anxious now having retold that story. I have the same anxiety, and that must have been like 15 years.
Well, Rich is going to send this to Damien, so... You know, no, Ruth, no one can have made a fool of themselves in front of Damien Lewis more than I did. Richard?
But I think we should, do we save that to talk about with Damien? Like, do we save the...
Well,
I
brought
story?
It up. So give the greatest hits, and then with him, we'll find out. Mm-hmm. And then with him, we can this find out the truth. Because hopefully what he'll say is like, I don't even remember that. And
So you're going to have him on your show?
Yeah.
So could you like put in a good word for me and like straighten out? Like, could you just... You
absolutely.
Know, I'm sure he remembers it really clearly and like... feels bad about it
I'm
all.
I'm sure he's been replaying it over and over. I mean,
for
you know
15
how
years.
The whole time he was going like, this is Ruth. This is just listen.
Glad. I'm so thank you for doing that. I really appreciate you being able to tidy that up.
He's saying she could have been Ruth Lewis.
I know.
Damn it.
What is, Ruth, you're familiar with Helen McCrory. You are, I mean.
Like Dame Helen McCrory.
Yeah. Literally one of the
one of the greatest living actresses in Britain.
Correct.
And I am familiar with. I don't. Who isn't familiar with?
Well, she's not a huge name in the States, so I think it's one of those things where you say Helen McCrory, big actress in the UK. Huge. And
actress actors know.
Anybody who's in the business who's an actor on any level
different,
should know. You know,
she looks different in every role she plays.
Right, she's a chameleon. She's one of those.
Right?
But the name alone should resonate with any actor or actress in the business.
Yeah,
Tina,
I'm bad with names. I don't ever hear a name.
And she became even more, like, for those of you listening to the podcast who are going, I'm not the face isn't coming up. If you're watching Peaky Blinders, she's Aunt Polly. Like, that's one of her biggest American, I know it's not an American show, but it's been a hit in the States. And she's fantastic. I mean, she's fantastic in that role. But she's in Hugo. She's
great. She's great in Hugo.
The Queen.
The Queen. Mm-hmm. Anything they make in the UK,
now,
this woman pops up.
When this story happened, there was no Peaky Blinders.
But she had done
There was
done
no
Hugo.
Queen. She'd done Hugo.
She done Hugo.
And
she,
I just seen
right,
Hugo.
She hadn't done Peaky Blinders. She only had about 35 years of work under her belt at that point.
But she's primarily known for being a theater actor. She was a great theater actress.
That's
which
true.
Will have like Helen McCrory on the marquee
and
her face.
Right.
And then, you know, she's
Amy
the brand.
Lewis under it.
So, we have dinner. We go to England. Damien being an old buddy and Helen being a friend. We all went to dinner. Rob Benedict and the Lewises. Lewis McCrory's.
And just the four of us.
Damien steps away. I think Damien and I went to the can or something, leaving Rob by himself with Helen. And now, since I wasn't there, I will now lob this story to Rob Benedict. So, but let me just paint a picture. We're in a great restaurant. Actually, it had been a club back in the days when I lived in London, and now it had become this, it had been Sugar Reef, and now it had become this awesome restaurant. We're in this awesome restaurant that we couldn't get. It was one of those like Hollywood or London moments where we couldn't get a reservation, and they're like, I'm sorry, we can't, there's nowhere you can sit. Mr. Lewis and Mr. McCrory, absolutely. They're like ushering people away from the table mid-entree as they seat us in the middle of the place, treating, because they, you know, they're big deals there. And they're like, we have a table for you two and your staff. But they sit us down, and now it's Rob Benedict and Richard Speight with two of England's favorite products, Damien Lewis and Helen McCrory. Brand name performers known throughout the country. Damien and I step aside, and Rob Benedict takes it from here.
So at the time I was married, and my wife and I was traveling a lot, and she was traveling a lot for work, and I was trying to find somewhere that where Helen and I could, you know, relate, and I was like. She's very humble, so she must have been like, oh, well, you know, Damien's doing Homeland, and, you know, and I was like, yeah, that, I know that's really tough. Like, I feel that way sometimes. Like, my wife works, and I'm, you know, I'm the stay-at-home husband. Is there, you know, as a stay-at-home wife, is there anything else that you like to do? She's like, oh, you know, I have work sometimes. I'm like, oh, that's so, I think that's really important to, like, you know, to get, you know, have, like, some crafts or something that you do. Is there something, like, you like to do with your free time? She's like, no, I work. I'm like, oh, what do you do? She's like, I'm an actress. And I was like, oh, that's neat. Is anything that I might have, you know, seen? And it's like, oh, I did this project with, you know, she starts naming like Robert De Niro, and then Spielberg has me doing this, and then Scorsese. And I was like, oh, yeah, right. And then Rich and I, so then, of course, I'm like pale as a ghost and don't speak through the rest of dinner. I realized I'd done something. I don't know what I had done wrong. And I likened her. I don't even know. It's weird now that I think about it, because my wife worked all the time. I worked all the time. But I somehow likened her to not working and being with a partner who worked all the time. And for some reason, I just, that was my thing. It was like, I get it, right? The, you know, the old lady's working and we're staying home, you and me, as stay-at-home spouses. And then I got Rich alone later in the night, and I was like, God, Rich, I fucked up, Rich.
It's the classic Rob. I fucked up, Rich. I did it, Rich. I really messed up.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So then,
it was so funny.
Yeah, Rich thought that was the best thing he'd ever heard.
Yeah, because she's actually kind of more famous in the UK than Damien. I mean, like, she's a bigger brand. And I'm sure Damien will take issue with that when
no, but I mean, and then when I, you know, when I looked her up on IMDb, I realized I'd seen her in a ton of things, and it's just, she's one of those actresses that she really loses herself in the role.
She's like Gary Oldman.
Unrecognizable. Yeah.
She's sublime. I've seen her on stage a few times, and she is sublime. She is transcendent. She's incredible. She really is. And speaking of Gary Oldman, he actually went to my drama college.
Yeah.
And that's just me just name dropping.
Well, there you go.
Oh, well done. Good story.
Thank you.
I went to a play one time with Helen.
You did?
She took me to a Pinter play Damien's out of town, but she was there, so she and I went to a play. And that was one of the coolest things I've ever experienced, only because I've never been with a famous theater person where everybody backstage was so excited to see her.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy, we went to have a drink after at a pub, and I'm talking to the gentleman, and I wish I could remember his name, but he's a big deal there in theater in the West End. And I'm talking to him, and beyond him is a 40-foot him. Like, it's his picture on the outside of the theater going, you know, this guy and this play. And I'm like, man, this is cool. This is like theater royalty hanging out, and I'm just some dink from Nashville.
And people that can do that on stage, you know, I love film and TV, but people who can really bring it on stage are magical. And it's something you can only witness by going to live theater, live music as well, to be there and inside it. And one of my favorites is Mark Rylance. And I think he's incredible in film, but I don't think he's ever been as brilliant as he is on stage, because it's such a special thing to be able to do what these people do on stage.
Mark Rylance is another one where he's incredibly famous there. Not as much. I mean, the first time I ever laid eyes on him was in the Spielberg movie. Spielberg put him in a movie, and
the
crossing the bridge one. Yeah. Tom Hanks spy movie.
What was that movie called?
Point of no. Don't.
You know the one where he's the Russian.
Yeah.
Those Russian spies.
I have a Mark Rylance story.
It's called those Russian spies.
All right, tell me your. And so I think we need to, for the general public, because I had never. That Spielberg movie was the first time I put a name to his face, or vice versa. And he's older. I mean, obviously he had done a ton of work. And when we have this video, I'll put a picture of him up on the screen. But he's an actor who you didn't know you knew, and then when you know him, he blows you away.
Mm-hmm.
He really does. He apparently, when he was younger, he was offered a project with Spielberg and a theater project, and he's so kind of tuned to the moon and amazing. He did the I Ching to decide what to do, and the I Ching said, if you do theater, you will have community. And he did the theater show. He turned Spielberg down, did the theater show, met his wife, has a whole family with her and her children. And then it was 25 years later, Spielberg came back around. And then he won the Oscar for it. So
Richard slapped me in the face the other day and told him that I Ching told him to slap me in the face.
I Ching gets it. I'm looking up the movie title because now it's driving me nuts. Why aren't you using your Google machine and doing your thing?
I got this, guys.
Mark. It's not Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
That's what I was thinking.
No, it's not.
I got it, guys. Just
not.
Let me do this.
The spy, the bridge.
The bridge spy.
The bridge over the river spy.
Bridge of spies. Bridge of spies.
Bridge of spies.
Bridge of spies.
We got there.
Bridge of spies.
I mean, not to credit myself, but I think the first that when you first said it, I said bridge. Just saying, I threw out the word bridge and nobody.
Ted Bridge.
Mm-hmm. I also want to point out the fact that we've all name dropped. Richard name dropped Tom Hanks. You name dropped. Who went to your school?
Gary Oldman.
And Joe Jackson. So, just saying.
Tina, who have you got? Come on.
Harrison Ford.
What about him?
Are you just saying
his
name?
Are you just dropping his name?
No. Yeah, we shot a commercial with Harrison Ford, and we're all so excited. And honestly, in everything I've done in my career, and doesn't matter TV shows, doesn't matter commercials, doesn't matter famous people, that was the first time my mom really respected me and thought I had made it. But Tyler actually secretly took a picture of Harrison Ford from
Tyler, your husband.
My husband, Tyler. Tyler like snapped a secret picture, which especially in commercials is a big no-no.
Yeah.
But he was so excited, and Harrison Ford's security guard saw and then told Harrison, and then Harrison made the security guard grab Tyler, grab his phone, and I had to fire my husband off the shoot.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was a big ordeal. And then we got home, and I don't think I've ever yelled at him the way I did that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was
Tyler.
Like,
Tyler.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Tyler. Dude.
Yeah.
Tyler, of course, also worked on Kings of Con, which you know he is did. The. Yeah. It was right under your Harrison Ford story is Robin Rich.
And we were begging him to take pictures on set, and he wouldn't do it. Couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm good.
What are you taking a picture of? This potted plant. Oh, grab a picture of the actors.
All right. Not that interesting. Yeah.
Right. What's happening? What's happening with Kings of Con? Like, what are you working?
You're looking at it.
You're in the middle of it right now. It's a podcast. It's morphed into a podcast. You just Helen McCrory'd our show.
I love Kings of Con.
Hel McCroyd is now a verb.
I loved it so much. I loved it. I thought it was genius, and I just wanted to see more of it.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
The rest of America didn't agree with you.
That's not true. That's not true.
We have a podcast.
A couple of random studio execs didn't agree. Or just didn't take the time to really give it the attention it deserved, really. It's truly what it is.
Exactly.
It's such a...
But Tino, one time I came off a plane from Vancouver having filmed, and there was an older couple standing beside me at the luggage rack, and they were a little bit tipsy, and then they started chatting to me.
Was it me and Rich?
And it was Robin Rich. And it was Callista Flockhart's mum and dad, and they were on their way... They were like, my daughter's an actress, and da da da. And it turned out it was Callista Flockhart, and they were on their way to her husband's house. So they were on their way to Harrison Ford's house.
Oh,
one tenuous connection.
Wow. Did they find you? Like at it. What point in the journey did they find you hiding in the luggage? Oh, hello,
Harrison.
I'm your sweater. Ignore me. I'm a pair of pants.
I'm a jumper. See, yeah, that's the thing I've learned from
I'm
Ruth.
A kilt. I'm a kilt.
There you go. There are a lot of her accent. I can always understand what you're saying, but I don't always understand the words that you say.
Mm. And sometimes, though, I have to say that, like, sometimes we just have different words. But sometimes I'm just talking rubbish. But I can always get out of it and pretend that what I'm saying is a real thing in Scotland.
Right.
And Rob's never knows the difference.
That's true. Wow. Right? Well, now I'm paranoid. Yeah. Now
so
I'm paranoid.
You can Helen McCrory him all the time.
Yeah. All the time.
That's a big
recent
one.
The recent one was, what was it? I said a bism.
Bism, yeah.
Bism.
You ever heard that, Rich? If someone's a bism? Mm.
You're a bism.
They're a rascal.
Oh. Rascal, yeah.
Yeah.
Bism. And Calvin thought I said bosom.
Bosom. And he still thought it was hilarious. I almost didn't want to correct him. He's like, it's so funny when she said bosom.
I did want to correct him eventually after a while because I was like, I don't want him saying bosom, and it's like that's your
breasts.
Biz.
Yeah.
Well, you end up being you Americanize it, and Calvin's like, you're a tit. No, he really ruined it. At his buddy's house. Get out of our house. Like,
yeah.
No, just got his thing. You call somebody a tit. It's a thing. Ask my dad.
Yeah, he wrote my dad who wrote the Fuck It Suck It song.
What about the Booze and Bism song? How did that go?
Ooh. Oh, Robbie, there you go. Booze and Bism. You say Bism, I say Bism.
Let's call the whole thing on.
Let's do it. Robbie, play it.
All right.
You say Bism and I say Bosom. You say Scottish and I say Scottish. You talk different, but I like different. Let's call the whole thing on.
So
one fine note I want to put on the Lewis story, which we are gonna have to replay the whole thing when we finally get him on, and hopefully Helen will, like, if we get them in from England, maybe Helen will lead.
That would be great.
Tell us to f
slash
up.
Terrifying.
You can redo your bit and like have some resolution, and like you can do the thing for me with Damon. We can all just settle down on their past faux pas.
You can
right?
settle
yeah,
down.
Can
you can
just
settle down and just
realize that Damon may have picked the wrong woman. I don't know who's to say. But I've always fancied myself somebody who can retell a story and do it justice and do it well. The biggest fail in that department was that Helen McCrory story. Jason Manns and I went to dinner with the Lewises.
This is more painful than the actual story to me.
All the Lewises. Because I know that whole clan. So it was Damien, his brother Gareth, his sister, his father, and we all went to dinner. And I told the Helen McCrory story to the group.
Now, mind you, I spent one night with these people. Like, Damien might sort of remember me as one of Richard's friends. That's about it. Helen definitely doesn't remember me. This was a story that made us laugh that they never ever talked about or even remembered. So go ahead.
And I did such a shocking job of screwing the story up. And it made Rob sound like an aggressive asshole. And Helen like a shrew. How dare you? Like, my retelling of it, and Jason Manns, who had heard the story, like a funny version, heard me and Rob talking about it before, who thought it was hilarious, was now sitting there kind of quietly eating his steak going, "You're dying." Like, yeah, I did the whole thing. To all the Lewises looking at each other like, "Well, that doesn't sound like the way Helen would talk to a gentleman at dinner. That's not at all how she comports herself at a meeting." You know, and I'm like, "No, I mean, hold on. But then my asshole friend does this thing." He's like, "Well, he sounds like a terrible person. Why would you have..." And they're like, "Ah." You know, it went... And Damien, like you say, not really remembering any of this because he and I weren't in the room. So he couldn't jump in and be a part of it. I wasn't really in the room. And in classic going for a joke screw up, which I'm sure, Rob, you've done before, when you were like trying to grab more rope to try to get the story back on track, I just kept pulling it the wrong way. Like, I never righted the ship. So I left there with the Lewises going, "Let's make sure that man and Helen are never in the same room."
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He sounded like
a
threat.
Me. Yeah. Oh, dear. IMDb him, will you, darling?
Can we make sure, Damien, can you make sure he doesn't work in our country, please? Thank you.
That's probably the reason that I got deported from England.
Another reason.
Yeah. So it was the drugs and my Helen McCrory story that got me booted.
Have either of you filmed or worked in the UK?
Rich has.
Tina, did you?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
What, Rob's not allowed to.
I did not. Yeah, exactly. Turns out I did, but I didn't have a permit, which is why I got deported. True story. But now I'm never as an actor.
But you're allowed back in.
Now I am.
No,
I wasn't for a bit there.
Why are you allowed back in? Have you told the story?
Mm. No, well, not on this podcast, but...
you got to tell why you got booted if you're going to set up the...
I got booted because we had a gig there. Our band had a gig there, and... it was the Station Breaks band that I'm in with said Jason Manns. And they found out, they pulled our drummer aside, who looks like a musician, and they just kind of targeted him. And they were like, "You know, what are you doing here?" And kind of found out he had a gig and found out he didn't have a permit. And myself and Billy Moran were still waiting at the luggage for our luggage where the rest of the band had gotten free. And they stopped
Jason
us.
Jason was out the building.
Oh, out the building. Long
this
gone.
This was at the airport.
At the airport. Stopped
us. Oh, wow.
Pulled the three of us into a room, questioned us all night long, and then ended up throwing us in a cell. And we stayed there for 24 hours, locked in this cell, while Jason had, and this is a quote from Jason, "the gig of his life."
Right.
Played solo. Had a great show.
Helen McCrory was there.
Yeah. There were people marching outside with my headshot and a red line through it. And anyway, and then they deported us. They put us on a plane and sent us home. It was awful.
One of the bits of the story that I like is in the cell that you were in, we were like no phones, nothing. It was proper lockdown, like you were a criminal. But they had a bowl of snacks. And in the UK, we have prawn cocktail crisps called Skips. It's one of my favorite snacks. And in this bowl, there was like a couple of kind of, you're saying, kind of worn down oranges and packets of Skips.
That's right. Prawn cocktail crisps.
Which I think is its own form of torture.
It is. It's a real fuck you. Anyway, so then a few years later, I try my hand again, getting back into England with a permit to work at a convention that we all went to. And they pulled me aside because it was a red flag. And fortunately, the first time we had a real asshole guy who kept us there. 2 years later, I had a really nice guy who was a fan of Supernatural. Mm. He was like, "Are you God?" And "Oh dear," And then he's like, "Give me 1 second." And he goes back and pop on the computers, and then comes back. He's like, "You're all clear. Your record's cleared."
Wouldn't it be funny if he was just emailing Damian Lewis?
I got him.
Oh, Mr. Lewis, can we lift the ban on this gentleman?
No.
Fine.
And then Helen goes, "Oh, do it. Just do it, darling." Yeah, man. Well, thank you for ruining my career, Richard. And Ruth, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show.
You've been great.
This is nice.
Well,
I wish it would never end, but it has been about an hour, and we like to give our listeners the freedom to live their life.
We're going to have you back, because obviously at some point down the road, I mean, we didn't even get into being the, biggest, longest female performer in the history of this franchise of Supernatural. Like, that's an accomplishment. And then winning back Damian Lewis. I mean, we got other things to talk about, so we'll do this again.
I really hope so.
You definitely will be back. Yeah, you'll be a recurring character.
And I can't wait to see what other dead animal pillows you have. That's going to be exciting.
I'll show you. I have a camel, but I'll keep that for the next one.
Okay,
perfect. Something to look forward to.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know her, you love her, you understood her the whole time, Ruth Connell.
Thank you, Ruth. We love you.
It's a King's Car.